the band, the iron band that was made to fit the horse's foot. And like one part foot is, we'll say, more straighter like this, the other one flatter like.
So they had different size shoes.
Yeah. And so they, each one they were finished with, just hang them on the hangs. So that pair of shoes belonged to that set of harness. Of course, then that set of harness belonged to a certain horse.
Okay, well, I've interrupted you there. We're going to get going on making book.
Oh, to make this here. They had a machine. The machine would be about 3 feet, like pretty near 3 feet, like, and then they had a seat, like that. It was like an iron seat. No, I couldn't drive. No, don't ask. Don't ask me. But
what would it look like today?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know what a spinning wheel looks like?
Yes.
Well, a spinning wheel goes this way on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this went this way on.
Okay.
And
clockwise?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they would take a handful of hay and put it in. Because this thing's spun, you see. It rolled the hay. Let's say that. But it rolled it out in three ropes, like, and the ropes, these three pieces were about the size of your little finger, or not your little finger, but the size of your finger. And then at the back end, like this is the front end of the machine, and then at the back end of the machine, it would take those three, 1-inch diameter rope, the same as your manila rope.
Mm-hmm.
It's made, it would turn out to look the same as that, only the hay wouldn't stick out a little bit every now and again, like, on it. But they would use that rope down there. I can't think of the name of that company, but they made the water pipes for, like, 6-inch water pipes for the town, or 12-inch water pipes. And they'd had a steel core, about 4 inches in diameter. Then when they wound this rope all around tight onto that steel core, and then when they, then it went into a made out of like sand, around like the 6-inch outside or 8-inch outside, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have it open
like
at the top.
It was a mold.
Yeah, it was like
it was
a mold. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pour the hot metal down through the there to fill that mold.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And then they.
All right. So you
then
had
they
to, you
then
had
they
had
would when they get
right.
to
so
the
you,
end of
you
it,
had
you
a
see
steel
the
pipe. You had a steel pipe like this, right? Like that.
Yeah.
And then you wrap the rope. The rope was wrapped around it like that.
No. Just like.
Well it would be. It would
no,
be
just like say that with your steel core. We start here. They wrap the rope.
I got to do it the other way, that's all. And so you start here and you would just wrap it around so it
yeah.
Like that. Okay. And then they put this steel core that would be, just, there would be, okay, let's go back. I'm looking at it from the end. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, like that, and we've got the rope around the outside of here like this.
Yeah.
And then they would put that in a mold.
Mm-hmm.
And the mold would be,
yeah.
Would, no, well, this would be this would be the sand here. Like the
yeah.
Sand. Sand, this would be sand?
Yeah, it would be sand around, but then there would be the space in between from the sand to the rope. There would be a say a half an inch space or whatever the thickness of the steel pipe would be, or the cast iron pipe would be, you see, and that's where they pour the hot metal in. But to the time the metal was cooling, the hay would burn off. And then when they finished, they just pull the core out of the stuff. But they pour the hot metal down through the top of it. It would burn the hay off.
How long were those pipes going?
Well, they were 20-foot pipes. Water mains, like 20-foot water mains.
Mm-hmm. media boats, so that the pipe itself would be...
Well, a 6-inch inside diameter, when they finished up, it was 6-inch inside diameter, or 12 inches inside diameter. They had two different sizes.
Well, that would be quite useful, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That would burn off, you see.
Yeah.
And the cord, you see, would be loose.
Who supplied the hay for this?
That's the Collins. Yeah, Collins supplied the hay for that. That's the we used to haul it in there, you see.
And they came along with new techniques later on.
Well, yes, yeah.
So that would be in the, like, that would be the late 30s, maybe the late 30s, 40s?
Oh, yeah, up in the, to maybe up into the 50s.
How long was there when they made this rope? You just came out in a coil, like 100 feet or 200 feet, would it be?
Well, whatever, they could make it a lot longer if they wanted to, but they would know how many feet it took, like for say they were doing 6-inch pipe, so they'd make it so they had enough hay to do the 6-inch pipe.
But
then then if they're doing a 12-inch, of course it'd have to be about twice as long for a 12-inch.
But this rope, this hay rope, wouldn't have been, it wouldn't take the place of a manila rope or something like that that they used for...
No. That was the use of that, and that was the only, it was only used for that purpose, mm-hmm. not to, it wasn't, like you couldn't put a, say a team of horses onto it to pull it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
All right, that's what I was wondering. Because when people say they made rope,
they made rope,
it was really used for molding, right?
Yeah, it was molding. There's not a lot of people don't know what they use it for.
I never heard of that before. I've heard somebody told me. And again, you know, it comes back to one thing you find in reference history, as I mentioned to you, is somebody gives you their idea, somebody else gives you their idea, and they aren't necessarily the same, you know, if you're telling you about the same thing.
Yeah.
But what I heard was that they used to put the hay into this pipe with this rope line.
Yeah.
And then they would they used that, and then they took it apart to tease it out in order to make the mattresses.
Well, no, the mattress was a little different type of rope, but it was only handmade. Like the rope was only like this was
rope,
a machine rope made by like this machine. But when they made the rope and that for the mattresses, they made it by hand, and of course they had a hand thing that turned, you know, like.
Like a drill press, like a small drill press.
Well,
with a hook on it?
Well, I can't replace what it was, but they used the turn by hand and then they'd feed the hay to it. But it made a rope, you know, to me it was about 4 inches thick. Then they would lay that rope in the cloth. And then they put loose hay, packed loose hay in. Then they put the cloth on top, and that made the mattress.
Oh, okay.
That was calling for.
So really, what you ended up then was the mattress would look like this, and they'd have a whole bunch of these pieces of this rope going in like that. Is that it? Side by side.
Yeah.
And then you'd pack it.
And then we would pack maybe 2 or 3 inches of real packed loose. Like as you call it, hay on top of it,
mm-hmm.
and then the cloth, you see, was so full of it. That was made in put on Main Street in Bradford. Yeah, and that's where the funeral parlor used to be. Collins was funeral parlor. Not Bill Kenny. Collins. Bill Kenny was across the road. He didn't know this.
Two funeral parlors in town.
Yeah.
Is that
right? Old Ben Collins. That was Collins who we're talking about, Dodger.
Sure.
That Dodger's father. He was an undertaker.
Well, he was still here on weekend.
Yeah.
little gentleman, not too tall. And,
yeah. But he was an undertaker. Before, like he was undertaker before he was done the Marsh Hay. And then he was an undertaker at the same time as the mid-mattresses.
Is there anything he didn't?
Well, not too much.
No, I mean, then, every time they keep coming, you keep coming back to Ben Collins did this, and Ben Collins did that, yeah. Ben Collins did this.
And then they even done the fishing, which is sure. The big fishing operation up in the...
Okay, are we finished the hay then?
First time.
Okay, all right. No, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take this back, and I'm going to write it out.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'll send it back to you, and get you, from what I think of it, what is your mailing number?
Well, it's L3, well, they're all L3.
You get your mail here at the box.
Right.
Your street number?
All of the box numbers, or all of the L3Z,
mm-hmm.
1M1. No, you're not 1M1, is it? No? Where do you get your... I thought each box was a different, like that 1M1. I thought it was the same, different number.
But we see we're on the same side. We're on the same side of Fletcher Street.
Yeah.
You know, somebody might use that. Somebody from Church Street. It has to be with the street. What's your street number?
21.
21.
You should be as a prisoner.
You should be okay. Okay, I'm close anyway. Okay. All right, fishing. And this is, this would have been during the...
Back in the 30s. That was a pretty big operation. It was all for carp, like fish for carp, mostly with carp. And they shipped it to Toronto for the, mostly the Jewish people would buy the carp. In the wintertime, they used to fish over through the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, trip was like when the ice would get.
All right. Now this is where it gets funny. Okay. Now can you draw me a picture of that?
Well, it was just an ordinary board.
Okay. All right.
Like
so you
only
cut a hole. You cut a hole in the ice like this. Eh? Would be what say?
Well, this here trip board thing that mm-hmm. they made was something like this.
You're drawn on here.
No.
I want.
I know, but you can copy it your way. You can copy it your way. And in here, you have to put a wire to you here. Put a lead weight on a board. The board would be fit into that hole.
Where was the fishing line?
Well, it's on this here.
on the back of it.
Well, on the bottom of your lead.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should, after you put this down the pole, you stood there and you just pulled. You see, and as it pulled, you kept that feeding your line out, and then you get it pulled. And then when you get away up 100 feet, you see, they put it in when the ice was like clear, you know, like you can see down through the ice. So you follow the board, or someone would follow the board. If it started to go off sideways where you wanted it, you just cut a little hole in it, take it straight to the board where you wanted it, and go on. Well, after they go, like, say, maybe 100 feet up the lake, they would cut a hole, and then they pull this here out.
How long would this board be?
Oh, it would be about, probably about 4 feet from that. and they'd pull the cord out, and then take the fishing line and tie a rope on it, you see? Mm-hmm. And they pull a rope, like a heavy rope underneath the water, underneath the ice. Mm-hmm. They'd go a mile, like from where they started, they'd go a mile up the lake.
So looking at this from the side, this was heated here, and this is the lead weight.
Yeah.
And your line was attached to this or attached to this?
No, it was attached to it. I think it was attached up here to the top of it.
Oh, yeah, because then you'd pull on it, and then that would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they would go a mile up the lake, mm-hmm. and then they put a post in there in the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd go a quarter mile across the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like another post put in at a quarter mile. And they'd just go over about 15 feet and put another post in. And they go the other quarter mile across. And they go all the way back, a mile back down. And a quarter mile back in. Here, I'll draw yours. No. See, this ice surface would be like a mile, mm-hmm. half a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in here, as I said, they put a post in here, post here, 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 see?
Mm-hmm.
But in here, they have put these ropes across here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pulley. Here. It would go through the pulley and go back down here, through a pulley here, across to here. Because the same as here is the go across here, pulley, down through the pulley and back through here. Then in the morning they would have the sleighs that they go up here, and then they would have a board chute. It was down under the water, so they chopped the ice out there for 2 feet, like 2 feet by the length of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they take this net, you see, and they tie it onto the net, and then had to come off with a big reel, like, and that they would pull it across, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. They had a gas engine. Not really a winch, but it was a gas engine, and the rope that it went on, the pulley was like that big around here,
mm-hmm.
and maybe 6 inches of that big around. But the pulley went, you put the rope on about three times around that, and then we pulled off of that, you see. This year, most it kept on running, you see.
So there was really
went up. The rope went up, it would slide down. If you took it off, it would slide down, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had these wooden reels that the rope would wind onto these wooden reels.
The rope would be all wet, wouldn't it?
Well, it's coming off wet, yeah.
What happened when the rope got all frozen into a solid mass?
Well, they put it in the water.
Well, I see. So they just pulled it back out and then it went right back in the water again.
No. Well, no, they kept till the next morning.
Oh, yeah. I see.
But they would put on these reels, you mm-hmm. see, because they've already got the rope. As the nets pulled in,
mm-hmm.
they pulled the ropes in behind them.
Oh, yeah.
So the ropes were always underneath the water.
Mm-hmm.
And they would put the net in up here, and they pull this way, and they pull this way. And then to get over, so to get the net half mile wide, the net was that long, half mile wide. In the back end of the net, they had it like a cone went back into the back of it. They pull that down to here, and they had to have a man, you see, here on each one of these here things. But he had to feed the ropes in, like pulled over to here, the mat pulled over to here, he had to pull it up and come to the off the pulley light and put the
put another rope on.
Well, the other rope was coming behind of that there, and that put the new rope to him underneath to feed the new ropes underneath you. The same down the other corner, every corner, you see. There. And then when they got down to here, you see, they had the same type of a wood chute down here that that pulled the mat out, like do the wing pull in and then do the mat all out, wound it up on the big reel there. But it took them a day, like a full day's work, to set that mat and pull that mat. That was one day's work. Pretty well every day. But these machines, as I said, the gas engine, there are two of them. One pulling the other one. The machine was really a chain drive. The pulley just kept turning, but it pulled the ropes up.
And it was really like a friction pull.
No. Well, it's I went upstairs there, and they're made of steel. Not that big around at the top end. They're only about that long. they're only about that big, but it's all like smooth paper. Mm-hmm. And as you put the rope on it, as you're pulling the rope off, it keeps winding on, but it won't climb up the hills. You see, it'll slide down. It keeps sliding down like this. You pull 10-mile rope for them. It's feeding on. It's not like a winch where it winds it all up on.
No. Okay.
And then when they get it, pull the nap out, see the pocket in the thing. And they come up from that pocket come up and had a scoop in all over my hand. And had these here, what they call fish crates. They were like a boat. Only they had some open slats like in them. And they were about 16 feet long and just shaped like a boat. So they would fish into them. And then they'd have a bunch of fish, they'd take a photo of that, grab them, ship them to Trump.
These were live fish.
Oh yeah.
And then this boat was it? It was water in this boat.
Well, it was under the ice.
Under the ice. Oh, I see.
It was under the ice. You see, it wasn't above the ice. It was under the ice. And they had just the trap doors there. They opened up the top and dumped the fish in there.
That was the refrigerator.
No, that was where they kept them alive.
Sure.
Because today they might only get 25 fish or something. Another day they might get 3 ton of fish. So when they get 3 ton of fish, they had to have some place to store them.
And then what did you do? How did you get them?
Well, they had these here tanks. They put them into a square tank, about 2 feet of deep. And they put them on a truck and have so much water in them. And so many fish, and they can down the fish here. Place down on
Did you haul those too?
Well, he had that one big haul. It was the last big haul that he ever had. And I don't know how many tons of fish. We hauled with 2 trucks for 2 full days, and then he said that he could handle, hold the others on the lake. This was just to get them out of the net, you see. Besides, he had all these here fish crates full of fish, too. And we hauled into Toronto, and he'd take one in to load into one fish market, and another load into another fish market, and then he wouldn't have any more. So we hauled all night, and all day it was six trips around the window. So we hauled over to Hamilton. We hauled a few loads over to Hamilton. And then they got like the fish all out of the net. And then he turned around and just left it set for a few days. Because if he had kept on hauling, the price would have dropped way down. So he was smart enough to see that he wouldn't ship any. And then he turned around and after that, they've gone up with people up and down so they could do another load of fish, you see. So he shipped one load down. You go out the ice and it's with a truck and you have to start loading you have to put a tank of water on it. Well, it's not a full tank of water, but I mean, you have, maybe 200 or 300 gallons of water in the tank. And you put the live fish in.
It's a ton of water itself.
Yeah. And then you're sitting up top of the ice and you start loading the fish on and you open the hole. Right? First thing you know, the water's up about the height of your tires. Until you get used to it, it's a little scary, you know.
Yes.
Once you get used to it, it didn't bother you. You know, there was quite a guy, many a big building, see, right at the mouth of the lake on the east side of the, up there, he had big buildings in there where they, in the summertime, you see, they used to use this year scout light for to do the nuts and all that on these year scouts, you see. And they used to fish the same area, right? And that's the summertime. And well, in the spring, right? Mostly just in the spring and fall. And then you had these big fish huts that were this type where the men used to live right in them. While they were doing the fish. And then after they start to the creeks on the marsh, like over there, there used to be a creek about 2 feet wide or 3 feet wide and about 18 inches deep. And the fish would just eat one of them in the spring and swamp. They would take them and nets, you see. They'd go down into like boats, they were a metal boat, right? Boats until you get full, and then they pull them out to the river, right? And put them in where the big boat was out there. he really had an operation.
Somebody was talking once about having an operation on the river.
Just about cut a load of hay or something, that would be all. It was from the south of the where I'd say there wasn't any marsh hay. If there was, it was such a little that it wasn't used. But, he had the, nearly all the marsh hay and the fish and the salt from the little bridge up to the lake.
Another thing we talked about the other night were the bridges on the marsh. There was this is the fifth here. This is the fifth line here.
Oh, Simcoe, yeah.
Yeah, this was Turner's property, and they didn't have a road down.
the road always went down as far as Turner's.
Yeah, but then it didn't go in through Turner's, did it?
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah, went into Turner's, but the, you're right, but, Turner used to go in beside Brown's, back into his place, you know, the...
Tom Brown?
Yeah, Tom Brown, sir. Bob Brown's his father.
Yeah.
You know, there was a label back in the Turner's there for a long time. And finally they put the Simple Street down, and then Turner had to go down the Simple Street.
Now, was there the original, but there wasn't a, there was a, like this is up here where the Tom Brown's is here. Bridge Street coming out here, where the road came down here, and then it came, Canal Bank would come back around here, down to the right side. Okay. Now there was a ridge here for Southern, say. Southern was kind of ridge here.
When you leave up there, there's a bridge on Center Street. Where the bridge is now. But not Center Street, no, just Simcoe Street.
Okay.
They're starting at Simcoe Street.
Okay. There's a bridge here.
There's a bridge at center of Simcoe Street,
mm-hmm.
where Ferris used to cross over.
Anderson Ferris.
Ferris now. Mm-hmm. And then there was Doan's Bridge, which was the next one up.
Okay, that would be the fifth one.
So that's where Doan's, down that Doan's farm,
mm-hmm.
to the mark. Right about there, well, right, yeah, right about there was Doan's Bridge. And right on that bad corner, you know, just before you get that bad corner, you can still see the pilings in there. That was Solomon's Bridge in there.
That's right, okay, yeah.
Dave Solomon, sure of this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then there was, you went on up from that, heading towards 400 Highway.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bridge in there that was right in somewhere near over Canyons there. That
so
would
so
be
this, is a, this is 400 here now, so Canyons are back along here. Have you ever gone over here?
We haven't crossed 400 yet, before you get to 400. We have another bridge in there that used to go up through Silver Spike. That was,
That was going to the floor.
That was, Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson Transport.
Yeah, K. Jack
Wilson. And he was the same
John,
guy.
No, John, not Jack. John was. And I found that out this summer for the guy. He wanted to know what Wilson's name was.
That was where foxes came in. Well, I was just like a map there with Google.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And was there anything else?
Wilson had that property. And he dealt the farm. The Zills had the transport business in Toronto. And Wilson had the farm. And they traded the farm. The Zills wanted to get out of the trucking business, and he wanted to get into the...
Was that Herb?
Herb Simmons, yeah.
The guy went into real estate.
And anyway, they just traded the...
He was the one who did the...
No money changed hands.
He was the one who negotiated the deal, and he got the farm. Herb Simmons worked out of Woodbridge. The same guy?
I guess I don't know if Simmons saw it, so I don't know if his name was
Simmons.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But anyway, he had the transport business in Toronto,
mm-hmm.
and he traded the farm to the business, and then, before Sills had it, he was Pickett. And Jack Wilson was the guns, and he got killed in a really tough time, Doug Ginsberg. Anyway, you get back to your bridges. the next bridge in there was right over Kites Lake, and it went up through the hill. I don't see the winding up through around the hill.
No, so it would go back up again to the core.
Yeah. But that's all there was on this side of the bridge that you're crossing now, on this side of the road. And then we would come in from the other side, there was the bridge right there, what you call this side of it. The only bridge that I knew of up in there was the one that, they call the sixth. That's where the Mac Lewis had the
Gulf Coast. Western Road?
Yeah, Western Road. It used to be a bridge across there.
You remember, like...
That was when I was into Hardy Station and Rawls. And after that, Rawls got that much.
When these bridges were in, like, the canal bank road wouldn't be continuous.
Oh, no. No, no. You could go off that canal bank and turn there, and they'd bring the stuff to there. And then finally they'd maybe get little ways each one in between. But most of them, you just went down onto the canal bank and then back up from the loaded your truck right there.
Do you remember when that was in continuous road?
Well, I couldn't tell you the year, but I know that I was there, and because it was just the width of one truck, and if a Ferris was loading the truck there, you couldn't pass. You had to wait till he got his truck loaded before you could go by. And, one truck would follow the other one out. Down and turn and load and then go back up, those roads, and then finally when the road went through, you went like that. But you could sometimes you get by if you're empty, if the coal truck were empty, you could hold the car up each way at wherever the people that were coming off the marsh and they didn't. But I can tell you what the work was.
I suppose like this part, the part up here near Bradford.
Well, it started to, like Ferris's disease there.
Old Emerson?
Yeah, Old Emerson's. There's a big operation on the market. Like from Simcoe Street to Ferris's. Well, then between Ferris and Domes, they joined up together. You see, that you could either go to Domes or you could go to Ferris's. And then from that to Solomon's, you see, they finally joined up there. They just kept like that. And when they first done it, you see, they just leveled like all the shovels that dug out the back and left them. They just like leveled them off with the tractor. I guess a road grade, I guess that's what they used. Or discs or plows or something. I don't know just what the hell they did, but they leveled it off. That was the road. There was no gravel.
I know I was talking to Bill MacArthur one day. He was saying that he and Bill Sullivan, I know they're telling you this, and you know, we were talking about shoveling gravel over some of those pit like that, to haul gravel on the mountain. And that was, he said it was about 35 or something, 34.
That's where we get that. I think I'm back in there somewhere. I don't think they fully connected them until up in there.
So when did you fellows get in the transport business?
We are in 34. Well, the first year, 33, up on this year, already changed marks. Like that's up there in the western road there. Mm-hmm. So already had two or three hundred acres in much up in there. The walls were coming in, and they broke the land.
That Garrett's family?
Yeah, Garrett Wall, Mary Wall, and old Peter. Yeah. Peter, that was father. Mm-hmm. John, other son. they started up there, so much land that they couldn't work it, you see, because at that time everything had to be done by hand, not that. So they let out in shares, like you took so many acres of property in shares. Well, my brother Jim, which was the oldest, you see, at that time, he had one of these here shares of property. Well, then when we got the vegetables off of it, you see, we, through that winter, we bought a 1932 Chevy truck, used one, you see. And then...
It had a 10-foot box?
No, it had a... It was pretty big, you know what I mean, pretty big and long. But anyway, we, that winter, no people would come walking a load of wood to it, or they want this to it or something. And so within, like in 34, like 33, this was in 30, like in winter, what would you call 33, 34, that would be 34, you see. And booms down here hit the coal business. He wanted to haul some coal for them, and that's how we got into the trucking business. And then we started when the marsh started in the spring, the fall, and fertilizer and stuff like that. And all the vegetables.
So then you grew, I guess, so you started out with one truck?
That was in 34. Four truck. 36, I think it was. And I'm the group.
I'm the group. How many did you have at the point in time? Those large steel.
There. But then this was taken 43. That picture was taken. And we had, but when we sold out to Ralph, we had 10, three straight jobs, and we had 7 tractor trailers. Argo sign there. That's the Argo hockey team.
Everybody?
I can't think of that one guy's name, but I know it was good something.
Bob Bailey? Is that Bob?
No. Don Dobson. He was worked in the Imperial Bank. There's Wally Fuller that just died up here.
Mm-hmm.
Bus Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Lloyd Houghton. You know, Mike Collins. Roy Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Over by the corner of the Professor Day is drive there where it comes up and that turns it to $10. He lives right there.
Yeah.
He worked for the railroad for years. And this is he's from Beaton. Beaton, he was the gold manager. What's his name? And of course myself and Jim.
position.
So the tubing aspect on the end, and then Roy Fuller and oh, damn. Dan Hunter, no. That's that good. That's West Bach, Bill Covert. James, Clark James.
Played on natural ice?
Oh, yes. Until the finals. St. Patrick's Day, who played in down in Toronto on what the heck was the name of that rink? It was the only rink in near in Toronto that had artificial ice inside the Maple Leaf Barn.
Oh, it was Four Seas Canada?
No, it seemed to me that it was right down around Avenue Road or somewhere in there.
And we played there. That was the final game, but we had played there one game before that, and then we had played in London, then Dunkirk, London, and then that's who we were playing off with, Lemko. And then if they were playing artificial ice, we were playing just natural ice, and we played off St. Patrick's Day and won the championship. And there, that's the picture of the champions that were taken. 1941. It was the Argo, you see that? Mm-hmm. We had the Argo gas station. We got the company to buy the sweaters and socks. They were good, real good heavy sweater, but we're playing outside. Not like these little thin things that they play with now.
Cool. Come back to that again.
Yeah.
What's this one?
That was one I bought. There was one of the freights. Like, yeah. You put in like a Sandcock freighter. That's 1923. All wood. Hey.
It didn't run or anything else, but it was just the remains of it left on the farm. On the couch.
Yeah. With all the doors and everything else, the box was all wood. The radio station in Richmond Hill bought that to me. And they were restored it. And I was talking to a guy who did here last summer that helped restore that car. And they got it about three quarters restored back to natural. And everything was original. And then they turned around and they sold it to somebody in Ottawa. That truck today is in Ottawa. I forget who it was I was talking to, but they helped. He was a mechanic that worked it.
Okay, all right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll
got that thing shut off.